I think the theme is probably what I have come to call lowercase f feminism, which really just means a lot of the women in these stories make really what seem like small decisions for them, but end up being bigger decisions for where their lives will go.
Marginalia.
Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes, which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
Margaret Malone is Wichita State University's Spring 2019 Visiting Emerging Writer and the author of People Like You, a 2016 Penn Hemingway finalist. Malone stopped by the KMUW studios to visit with me about her work. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. I went to your website and I watched and listened to the trailer. And in the trailer for the book, you said something to the effect like you like to explore in your writing the mundane ways that every day we humans come together and fall apart. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
That's a tough one. I always say I love people, and I don't mean that in a, like, I'm at a job interview and I love people kind of way. I really just love watching and listening to people. And part of what I love about that has nothing to do with the times when we get everything right. I really love the times when we mess up. I really love the times when we say, like, the one little thing we really didn't mean to or tried not to say, or like let slip the thing we know is like a filter thought that shouldn't come out, because there are repercussions to those choices. And sometimes, a lot of times, they go unspoken and the person just has to live with like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. And then I think the flip of that is the times we sort of accidentally let loose something really kind and beautiful that we would normally not say. And sometimes it's really little. Sometimes it's just like, to a stranger walking across the street, like you give them a wave or they give you a wave because you let them cross the street. Sometimes it's really little things, but I really am a firm believer that those little things, the plus and minuses, really make up who we are and the trajectory of our lives. I do really believe that. And so for me, that's what I mean by like the coming together and falling apart is the way people who know each other and people that don't meet and leave again and again. Our days are filled with those moments, and I find them magical. And that's why I love short stories so much, because I can explore those moments more in depth and in short fiction than I can in long form.
You say you love people, and I always say I hate people, so that made me laugh. I've often heard that it's more difficult to write a short story than a long form. Is that true?
You know, I don't know. I have spent, 17, 18 years writing really only short fiction. I did just write actually a first draft of a novel. And there is something, I don't want to use easier, but I want to say there's a freedom that comes with a novel with all that much space, that like your characters can breathe and the words can breathe, and it's okay for not every single word to have meaning in the beginning, middle, and end of a story, you know? And that felt really liberating, to not have to be so careful. And in short fiction, there is really, for me, a sense of needing to be careful. Like, I don't want to waste a word. I don't want to waste the reader's time. Everything has to have meaning. So I can't honestly speak to the difference in terms of which is harder, but I will say my experience was one of, there was an ease that came with the novel that I don't necessarily feel when I write short fiction.
What about reading? Are there certain times you like to read novels or certain times you like to read short stories?
Yeah. So I always read the opposite of what I'm writing. So if I'm writing short stories, I will only let myself read novels or memoir. And if I'm writing, like when I was writing the novel, the first draft of the novel, I wouldn't read any novels and I would only read short fiction or poetry. I read a lot of poetry too. So, yeah, I try and read away from what I'm writing because I don't want it to affect or infect either the voice or what I'm thinking about or have any judgment sneak in. So I try and stay away from the exact genre.
Do you think that short stories are becoming more popular with the reading public?
You know, I don't know. I wish I knew. I feel like they should be. It seems like the way people think, the way attention span works, the way people want like a delivery of something more quick these days, it seems like it should catch on. I mean, there's always a couple books of short stories a year that really grab people. And that's still happening. You know, it's still happening right now. So I hope so is my best answer. I hope so. I feel like there's a real shot for there to be a resurgence in short fiction, kind of the way there was in the 70s and 80s. I feel like there's a shot. There's some great writers right now writing short fiction. I mean, holy smokes. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
I love him for the bus. I mean, it's
so good. Yeah.
And I feel like it would just be such a good gateway for people who have not picked up reading or feel like they do not have time.
Yeah.
And you get a powerful punch.
Oh, it's true. And it's really good on public transportation, I feel like, too, because if it's good, you can shut out the world like for a full story in a short period of time. You know, you don't have to sink all the way into a novel. Yeah.
So when you have story ideas, what's your process for fleshing them out? Do you ever abandon them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm famous for abandoning them, but I usually abandon them for years and come back to them. So I often will write down, it's changed over time, but I'll often write down fragments, like language fragments that get stuck in my head on a piece of paper that make their way to my journal that then at one point I'll be like, I think maybe I'll see if that's a story. And then I'll start it and I'll usually get a couple pages in and then I'll be like, I'm not sure that's a story yet. And it will sit either in my journal longhand or a couple pages in a document. And then a couple years later, I'll be like, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? And I'll find it and think, like, I'm just going to open it. I know how bad this is. And I'll be like, oh, I think there's a story there. And then I'll usually write it. That's kind of become the process for me over years.
While I was on your website, I saw a photo of a desk on there. And it seemed like there was, you know, a lot of writing paraphernalia on it. Is it yours?
That's mine. Yeah, that's really my
desk.
So
this is your desk.
Yeah.
I printed the photo.
Yep, that's it. That's actually my desk from the last time I had a residency when I was working on the novel, actually. That's when I was doing research for the first draft I just wrote. So it was my desk at residency at UCross in Wyoming.
So there's a post-it note right up here on the windowsill.
Yes.
And it says, how a story should work, with an arrow pointing to the right.
Yeah.
What's it pointing to?
So it's pointing to this thing called the golden ratio. And I'm not going to be able to talk about this well, but it's really sort of like a math thing. But it's sort of, there's a large version of something. And then you sort of like turn it on its side and go in. And when you go in, it's actually just a smaller version of the exact same larger version. But it goes on into infinity. So every time you sort of walk and step in, it's hard to talk about it because it's kind of this math equation called the golden ratio. Wikipedia can explain it better than I can. But I don't know. I just have a sense that that's the way a short story should work, is like the whole should mirror in some way. If you walked into a sentence and picked any sentence out, it should still mirror the feeling of the story and the way the characters are in the story. And you could even argue particular words. You should be able to go into the word and the word should be able to do the same thing.
I interviewed an author once who told me that every time one of his short stories appeared in a different publication, it was never the same story. Do yours change over time and with different publications?
Yeah, they change. They're never really even fully done. I mean, I'll give a reading. I mean, my copy of my book that I went on tour with, the one I do readings from, I mean, it just looks like a copy editor got a hold of it. Like, I'll just change. I'll take out whole sections when I read. I'll take out words I don't like anymore. I'll change a word to a different word. Oh, yeah, it's all language is alive. You know, if it doesn't feel good to me, I'll just change it. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite short story writer that you read?
I mean, I have so many. You know, the last couple of years, I've been really into Lucia Berlin and Joy Williams, who are women who have been writing for a long time. And both have had larger collections come out. Sort of like collected stories come out in the last couple of years. So they've been big. They've been big for me in the last couple of years, of just like the freedom of what they do and being able, I think what's interesting particularly about them for me is being able to see the arc of their career and how their stories started out. I would say that this is less true with Lucia Berlin, but a little more straightforward, particularly with Joy Williams though. Hers were like straight ahead kind of classic 70s, 80s short stories from the heyday. And over time, she just writes about whatever she wants with this absolute like beauty of language and fearlessness. And the story ends where it ends. And it's there's like a magic that she was able to walk into in the later this later part of her career that I admire and think is fantastic.
You are in Wichita for how long?
I'm here until March 1st.
And what are you doing at Wichita State?
So I'm working with the mostly grad students. There's a couple undergrads as well. And it's actually a really great program. It's pretty much a tutorial program where I work one-on-one with 8 students. I meet them once a week for an hour. And I think every visiting writer does it differently, but my approach has been to, you know, I want each student to get the most out of our time together. So I've been really shaping what I do with each student individually. So I'm doing something different with every single student. And I've let them kind of drive it. You know, what is it that you want to work on? What is it that you want to have ready for your last year of grad school? Or what is it that you're not working on in grad school, but it's bugging you and you really want to get to? So it's different, but mostly it's kind of the standard. They're giving me pages. We're talking about them. I'm sending them back home and they're working on something, either deepening that or writing past it. But my absolute favorite way to work with students or any writer is the one-on-one talking about it in real time. And I get to do that here, which is, it's an incredible opportunity. It's great.
That was Margaret Malone, Wichita State University's Spring 2019 Visiting Emerging Writer and author of People Like You, which was published by Atelier 26. She's wrapping up her month at Wichita State Thursday evening, February 28th, with a book reading at WSU's Ulrich Museum of Art. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover more episodes at KMUW.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Marginalia is produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Torin Anderson and Mark Statzer. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.